Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Said I'm a student of history. One of the most remarkable parts of American history is the civil rights movement. And what made it so remarkable was the nonviolent protest associated by which the civil rights era had its successes. And those successes came out of nonviolent protesting that had been embraced by Gandhi in India. And it's a revolutionary idea. But the idea, and Martin Luther King obviously was the proponent of it, that had such tremendous success in the American South and around the United States in general. What made it so successful was it created a huge dichotomy, a huge chasm, a gap between the violent and angry antics of the people who were opposed to the protesters and the incredible stalwartness of the civil rights protesters themselves. Let me explain that a little bit. If you go back and you study and you look, civil rights protesters showed up to protest like they were going to church because the church was instrumental in that protest. Martin Luther King obviously was a minister who took his lessons on protesting and the arc of moral righteousness bending in the direction of good over the course of time from the scripture. And it was that dichotomy between the way that the people who opposed the protesters behaved and the way that the protesters behaved that grabbed America by the soul and let us see the difference between right and wrong in a fundamental way. And I think that in many ways we're dealing with a 1968-like situation in this country right now. And the difference, I would say, so far is we need for the violent aspects of the protest, which I think are connected to Antifa, to be pulled out of these protesters because the vast majority of them are not looking to riot or loot. They're looking to follow in the lineage of the civil rights protesters before them. If you study American history, what you learn is that over time we get things right. And in any given year, things may not go well. In any given month, things may not go well. In any given week, things may not go well. But I am incredibly optimistic in all of our people, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, to ultimately get things right as a collective whole over time. So much like when we talked about the coronavirus, how it felt like every day lasted a week and every week lasted a month. And the fact that 2020 already feels like one of the longest years in the history of our country and we're only 5 months through. All of that is ultimately, I believe, going to lead to us emerging stronger on the other side of this conflict. I 100% believe that. We're not going to be perfect. Our country never has been, but it is the greatest collection of people and of ideals that have ever existed because the United States of America is an ideal. It is an ideal that we created on the idea of an entire nation built around a code of laws and everyone being equal under that law. While I understand that there are lots of people who are pessimistic with what's going on right now, know that if you look back over time, America gets better year after year after year. I 100% believe that. We become more equal. We become more fair. We become a more prosperous and better and kinder nation. I really do believe all that. The data all reflects it. By and large, we get better. But it's hard. And it's a challenge. And one of the benefits of studying history, and I would encourage you guys to go read the Parting the Waters trilogy by Taylor Branch. It's an incredible work of art that takes you through the civil rights movement. One of the things you learn is that progress can often be hard. And bad things can happen while we move towards progress in a good direction. And so I would encourage you guys out there, as you move through all of the challenges that we face as a nation right now, to remember that our history teaches us that on the other side, and there will be another side, just like there was after the Civil Rights Movement, just like there was after World War II, just like there was after the Civil War. Remember, we held elections in the middle of the Civil War. We held an election for president in the middle of World War II. Many of us believe that what we are experiencing right now is without precedent. I can tell you there are lots of precedents, and ultimately we will emerge stronger. I am incredibly optimistic about it.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Everybody's experience is different. I just talked about a lot of my thoughts. I know a lot of you out there listening have thoughts, and we're not doing a traditional sports show today because, frankly, it feels artificial to do an official normal sports show today after what went on throughout the weekend. What was your experience like in LA, Danny G, and what thoughts did you have as basically chaos, it felt like, descended upon the country?
It was like living inside a documentary that I normally watch on the History Channel or PBS, because like you, I like history, especially sports history. And I was just watching a Jackie Robinson documentary a few days ago, and the scene here, especially Saturday, was nuts. I watched a parade of squad cars and SWAT teams from out of the area heading south on the freeway right next to me here to enter downtown in Los Angeles. And then Saturday night, there were people shooting off multiple rounds. I hope they were shooting them up in the sky. It did sound like the 4th of July or New Year's Eve. There were tons of sirens, lots of police helicopters. It was not hard to do the stay in the quarantine orders this past weekend. Just an insane scene here in Los Angeles.
Did you feel sick to your stomach like so many other people did? Because I feel like there are so many legitimate protesters out there, but I feel like there was an intentional attempt to loot and pillage and riot people hidden inside of that protest. And I'll give you an example here in Nashville. Somebody had a crowbar breaking windows. Who goes on a protest to support justice and has a crowbar with them? Like, so much of this feels like it was planned, and I tweeted a lot about it, and I think we need to catch all of these looters and all of these people who created this sort of scenario. I believe most of the protesters were entirely peaceful and with the right motives, and then this thing was totally co-opted. Do you get that feeling from your experience as well, Danny G?
I definitely have that same sort of feeling. I mean, we've talked about this before a couple of years ago during the Kaepernick stuff. I come from a really mixed family, Sicilian, Spanish, French. Half my cousins are Mexican. The other half of my cousins are half black. So a very diverse family. And during the Kaepernick stuff, I shared the story with you about how when I was a little kid in L.A., I watched my grandmother's house get tossed. She got harassed, and yet she stayed respectful, even though the police were wrong and found her to not have done anything wrong. You know, it was an experience I'll never forget as a little kid. And then also my first radio station job, I was running the equipment on air for these two older gentlemen that were on live at a remote. They didn't know their mics were on, and on the radio on 40,000 watts, they called me a wetback, which was embarrassing, but let's be honest, it didn't pose a threat to my life. What happened to George Floyd is disgusting. I really liked the letters from Michael Jordan and especially Tony Dungy, which I think you retweeted.
Yeah, Tony Dungy, I thought was particularly well said.
Yeah, and my mom raised us in line with her beliefs. She's a devout Christian, and she walks the walk every day. It's how I was raised, to respect everyone and everything. I would walk the same way Jackie Robinson and Martin Luther King Jr. did, and that would be peaceful at all costs. And you're right. We don't know who was there with good intentions and who was there with bad intentions, and obviously there are some people just taking advantage of everything.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt at all as you break that down. You know, what we try to do on the show is, you know, whether people agree or disagree with me or you or anybody else, we try to make sure the First Amendment is alive. And I want to play in the final segment of this hour, Keisha Bottoms, I believe is her name, the mayor of Atlanta, who I thought was incredibly eloquent in dealing with the riots as they took place in Atlanta. What would you say to our audience out there, right? I mean, a lot of people are coming into work, or they're waking up and they're spending Monday with us, and they feel a little shell-shocked based on what's happened. What I'm trying to do is just allow them to hear us and, frankly, not do a traditional sports show. And I don't think there's a lot of precedent out there, right? I mean, usually we're going to come on and we're going to crack wise and we're going to hang out. I mean, obviously we had the Kobe Bryant situation, which was awful. We've had the coronavirus. Prior to this year, we hadn't had very many serious shows, by and large, on this show, and I feel like we're just overloaded so far in 2020. Danny G, going to bring you back to finish off hour one.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Appreciate all of you hanging out with us, listening along. We're kind of talking through the weekend. You never thought something crazier than the coronavirus was going to end up happening, considering it's a once-in-a-100-year event. And the coronavirus is still ongoing. By the way, if you want a little bit of decent optimism, the numbers continue to decline on the coronavirus. And as I said when I started the program, I thought, hey, we're going to be in a better place than we were before from a coronavirus perspective. But instead, it's just kind of totally been overwhelmed by what took place over the weekend, the riots, the fallout. And I'm trying to give everybody on the show an opportunity to talk about it from their perspective. And so, Dub, I want to bring you in. You're here in Nashville where I am. I talked about my experience watching what happened in my hometown of Nashville. What were your thoughts as you watched this play out? And I imagine you're like pretty much everyone else on the show who I polled. I'm like, hey, we can't really talk about sports on Monday, maybe not even by Tuesday, I'm not sure, but it just feels so artificial to come on and be like, hey, what do you think about the Dak Prescott contract situation, or how about Tom Brady and the Bucks? I mean, there's just not a way to talk about that today.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's, you know, there's a place and time for those kind of conversations, and usually the place and time is every single day, but this obviously just happens to be one of those days where it just would not feel right to talk about, you know, anything really related to sports. But as far as my experience, and you mentioned what you were doing over the weekend, particularly on Saturday night when all of these nationwide riots were taking place in full force. And I was in Nashville myself as well. And luckily where I live, you know, I'm not really too close to the downtown area, so it wasn't like I could look out my window and see what was going on. But I was on Twitter. I had, you know, the news on the television as well. And you know, some of the stuff you see is really heartbreaking in a way, because I mean, you want these people, you talked about it in hour one, there's protesters that were able to speak out and have their protests. And it was awesome to see, because you want people to, you know, use their First Amendment right and speak out when things are unjust and wrong, and people were able to do that. But this stuff on the news where you see people throwing glass bottles and firecrackers in crowds and stuff like that, I mean, those aren't the protesters. Those are just people that are just trying to cause violence and harm because...
And I think that may well have been organized, not to cut you off, but I think that may well have been intentionally organized when we do a full-scale investigation into what was going on. Because, for instance, here in Nashville, you had people with crowbars, like breaking windows. Who even thinks to go on a peaceful protest to combat the idea of innocent people being killed and takes a crowbar with them? Right? I mean, that's just not something that that someone who has good intentions makes the decision to do. I think a lot of this stuff, what I saw all over the country, whether it was in Dallas or New York City or Atlanta or – or Houston or LA or so many places where there were major issues with Minneapolis for certain. Like, there were a lot of people that went to those protests with ill intentions that had no issue, no interest whatsoever in honoring George Floyd. They were attempting to create a disaster.
Yeah, and it's just such a shame, because what these demonstrations should be about is about honoring George Floyd and the atrocity that happened to that man in Minneapolis. But now the whole storyline has shifted, and it's all about the violence and all about the protesters that are using that violence against police officers and against pretty much innocent bystanders. I saw one video in particular that, I mean, it was very, very grueling, of a man in Dallas who, I mean, it looked like he had been beaten to death, and I'm not sure if he's alive or not.
I think he's okay. So much of this, there's so much, it's the fog of disinformation. Social media can be good because it allows you to see things in real time. The challenge is sometimes you see one particular video and it looks like something happened, and then you look at another one and you can't tell whether it's cops being dragged through the streets of Chicago or protesters in New York or whatever is going on. There are difficulties in figuring out exactly what's going on because people have different versions of the same video. And just what was so difficult in general, I thought, as everything kind of came undone, is even being able to keep track of it all. But to me, there's a difference between protesters who, by and large, I think had correct intentions in what they were doing and trying to draw attention to an injustice, and the situation that unspooled. And I think probably, as the evidence will come out, it was Antifa, which has been an organization that has been involved in basically creating chaos. They want to riot, they want to loot, they want to pillage. They basically are the kind of people who want to see the world burn. And I think we're going to find out that a lot of those people were trying to disguise themselves within the protest and then use that as an opportunity as it got dark and as the protests came towards often what seemed like might be a peaceful conclusion. And, you know, then I think there's just a lot of young people. Like, I was watching, I went to college in Washington, D.C. And so as I sat and I watched some of the footage from Washington, D.C., I mean, I would have been, if I were a college kid in this current environment, out seeing what was going on, right? So I think there are a lot of people out there just, you know, the safest thing certainly as a parent now is stay your butt in the house. Don't go outside. Stay in your apartment, wherever you are. Don't go outside at all. That's an easy thing to say as a parent. But you know, when you have grown kids, that they're going to make their own decisions. And as I watched a lot of the video feed from Washington, D.C., that's what I saw, was a lot of people who were out there for the right reason, maybe even just curious to see what exactly is going on because it's happening outside their windows, and a relatively small minority of people who are creating danger. And I think, look, this is an incredibly difficult position for a police officer or a member of the National Guard to be in. And to find yourself in that position where you're being pelted by rocks, where you're in cities where you had nothing to do with any of this, to have all that kind of happening around you, they were in an incredibly difficult position as well. And I thought that by and large, they acquitted themselves very well. And I think it's important, as Tony Dungy said, not to paint with a broad brush. Most police officers are legitimately hardworking and very good at their job. But it doesn't matter what your profession is. There are a lot of people in that profession that can be up to no good. And so when you kind of run through it, that's what I kept coming back to. I had trouble, like I said in the start of the show, I had trouble sleeping on Saturday night and Sunday night as well, as we dealt with what had been taking place all day long.
Yeah, and I share that with you. I mean, I was up late. It's so hard when you see some of these things to not look at what's going on, because it's everywhere around you. It's on my phone. It's on the television set. And you just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's so hard to keep track of everything that's going on. I mean, even the newsroom, the news anchors were having, yes. They were confusing which city on their feed was which. And I mean, that just kind of goes to show you. I mean, it's on all four corners of this country, and I'm 26, and you know, I obviously haven't been around as long as a lot of other people in this country and a lot of people on this show, but I mean, I can't remember seeing anything like this in my life since I've, you know, been paying attention to what's been going on around me. So it was really eye-opening for me on Saturday night and just the whole weekend, you know, overall, watching what was going on and just kind of sitting back and not really knowing what to think of everything that's happening around. You know, obviously it happened in Nashville, it happened in Dallas, it happened everywhere. It was just a really weird feeling.
We're going to bring in Eddie here in a minute. We come back for the next break, but are you optimistic? Like, I always try to be a huge optimist. And so this is the benefit, I think, of looking at history. And I'm going to talk about this to start off hour three. I'm a history nerd. I was a history major undergrad in college. I love reading history books because it widens your understanding of the nation and certainly of the world to be able to see what came before you. And so I look back and I think there's a very easy analogy to 1968 that I'm going to share with you to start off hour number three. In history, very often is cyclical. You end up making circles, right? It's very rare that something that has never happened before occurs for the first time ever in human life. And certainly we haven't even seen that today. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit to start off hour three. But to me, that is, I'm optimistic that we're going to come through this better eventually. But between the coronavirus and the protests and the election, which is still going to come up, 2020 is going to be an incredibly difficult year, unlike maybe any we've seen before.
Yeah, this 2020, we're not even, you know, halfway through it. And I'm like Danny G, I'm ready for New Year's Eve, man. I cannot wait for 2021. But in terms of my optimism, I am optimistic because I think as bad as this has all been the last few days and the last, you know, this whole year, I think we really do have an opportunity to make some real changes with everything that's happening. But long story short, I am optimistic and I am looking forward to what we can all do in the future.
We'll bring in Eddie Garcia next. We tease him on this and say he's been doing updates at Fox Sports Radio since the D-Day, right? Since World War II ended. He's not quite that old, but he's the oldest guy on the show. We'll see what he thinks, what his experience in Los Angeles was like.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Eddie Garcia joins us now. I've been talking with Danny G, with Dub, with everybody, sharing their feelings so far in a tough spot, right? I think you agreed as well, Eddie. We kind of reached out and we're like, we can't really do a normal Monday show where we come on and talk about, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and how he's going to do this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, given what happened over the course of the weekend. I know you're in L.A. as well, Eddie. I know you and your family are okay, but what sort of experience did you have dealing with this through the weekend, and what thoughts did you have to share with the larger Outkick family?
Well, it was interesting. On Sunday evening, my wife and I were literally heading out the door to go to my sister-in-law's house for our first kind of family get-together since all the coronavirus stuff was going on, and we got an alert over our cell phones that the curfew was in effect at 6 p.m., and it was 6 p.m., and so the event, our little family event was canceled, and we stayed home, which was a bummer, but it's obviously a very difficult situation on many levels. You know, I know you always talk about facts over feelings.
Yes.
It's easier said than done, unfortunately. But, you know, I was born in 1969, and I was wondering, is this kind of what it was like during the Civil Rights Movement and the war in Vietnam and all the things that were going on? Was it this kind of feeling that we're all kind of feeling right now with the pandemic and with what's going on now? I don't know. It's 2020 has been a hell of a year so far. That's for sure. I see this from so many different sides. You know, I certainly have a ton of respect and admiration for the people in our law enforcement that do it the right way. I would never want to do that job ever. You know, we all have our price as far as things we would do. I can't even imagine what my price would be to have to do that job and how difficult it is. And we also know that there are bad people who do work in every profession and do things that are wrong. So I understand the people being upset with the police, but I also, like I said, I have a lot of respect for the people that do it the right way. Obviously, we're talking about the media and you know, what their hand is in all of this. And I've worked a little bit in the news media, and I understand things that are ratings driven and things that get you know, blown up huge. That's certainly part of it. But you know what? We were also talking about China not long ago, and I'm grateful we live in a country where our news media can put horrific things that police do on television, and they're not going to go to jail over it. And
I also respect people that peacefully gather and assemble and demonstrate and do things the right way. And then I see, you know, people destroying things and are trying to hurt people. And I certainly, that sickens me as well. So there's so many different emotions I think most people are feeling when they're looking at everything that's going on. And I think in the end, we're all hopeful that maybe something positive could come out of this. But I also, you know, I'm a hopeful person, but I have my doubts as well that things are really going to change in the way people want them to change because of so many complex layers that are involved in all this. And like I said, it would be great if we could all just kind of take a step back and unplug our emotions from it, but it just doesn't seem like that's very realistic.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that at the top because my wife sometimes will get on me because she's like, you know, you're like Data from Star Trek at times, right?
Right.
Where you can kind of... I try to step back, and I'm going to explain why I'm like that, maybe, because I do think that sometimes people are like, oh, I get emotional about sports, right, like which aren't very serious things in general, but I'm like, oh, my, you guys know, if you listen to this show, you're like, oh, you know, whatever happened with Clay's teams, you can tell how he did, you know, coming in on Monday after a football weekend, or, you know, I'm incredibly competitive when it comes to coaching or anything else that I do now, but I also am cognizant that really none of that matters. And so I don't, like, it's not like I'm an analytics guy when it comes to looking at my favorite sporting team or something like that. So, but when it comes to serious things, I really kind of try to take a step back and understand not necessarily like the emotional response, because a lot of times I think emotion leads us to make poor choices, and you can, you know, think about your own life many different times, things that you might have responded to emotionally where it made you maybe feel better in the short term. And then in the long term, it didn't. And that's why when I think about, you know, these 18 and 19 and 20-year-old kids who are out there breaking things or looting or rioting, like I can see how the passion for justice can quickly turn into a passion for recklessness. I see that, right? I was 18 or 19 years old. I think anybody who's been an 18 or 19-year-old boy or younger understands that. We make a lot of dumb decisions there. Are you I know you said you're not necessarily optimistic going forward, but – I mean, this is crazy, right? We just finished May, and we've had the coronavirus. We had Kobe Bryant, which was a story that kind of came out of nowhere. Sports shut down, and now we've got riots going on. And I thought we were finally just going to be able to take a breath and be like, huh, you know, finally sports are just going to come back, and we can return to some sense of normalcy. And I feel like all the way up through November, it's just going to be pure chaos.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm hopeful. I'm a hopeful person, but I'm also realistic in that we've had riots here in Los Angeles before. Maybe this is something different. Maybe it's on another level. I don't know. Maybe I'm not that plugged into to realize if that's the case or not. I know we've had rioting before, and it really hasn't, in my opinion, I haven't seen much of a change as far as things that go on and people's attitudes. So we'll see. But yeah, you're right. You know, in this kind of, to bring it back to sports a little bit and, you know, talking about baseball, maybe coming back around July 4th, hopefully we're our fingers crossed. Maybe, I mean, even more sports can be something to pull us out of everything that's going on now, you know, to have something to rally around and unite together. And we need sports now more than ever before. So hopefully once July rolls around and maybe things calm down and die down and we can get into sports, it can just be something else to bring us together, I hope.
I hope you're right. I'm concerned a little bit that sports is going to become the most polarizing topic that it's ever been in the history of topics because everything seems polarizing right now. But I think there are a lot of people out there of all different backgrounds and all different ethnicities and religions and everything else that would just like to have something to be able to enjoy that doesn't feel like it's perpetually pitting themselves against everybody else around them and everything being political. And I'm going to talk about that some. We come back to start off hour three. I'm going to take you into my mindset and maybe explain the way I think a little bit more than I have before as we continue to deal with the fallout from the riots, the coronavirus, everything else, and what has been the wildest year of my life and probably the wildest year of most of your lives as well.